And things I want to share with you for just a second, but Galatians chapter 5 is where we'll be as soon as Brother Donnie gets everything set. All right. Well, good morning to you again, and I want to invite anybody who might be listening by the live stream to come visit us sometime. We'd be honored to have you come visit, and happy Resurrection Sunday to everybody. And I'm glad that everybody's here, either in person or maybe via the live stream or maybe listen to the message afterward. I'm just so thankful you're here today, and we'd be happy to have you, like I said, worship with us, share a meal with us. But I was just thinking about that, you know, that song we sang about one day, and we looked back at the past and we saw the days that Jesus did those things, the days He walked on this earth, the day He died for our sins, the day He rose from the dead, and then the one day He's going to come back and receive us unto Himself, and that's going to be a glorious day. But you know, when we get to days about we talk about the resurrection of Christ, normally there's a tendency to just, you know, preach a sermon about the resurrection. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But what I will say to you today is we've been going on this study about the fruit of the Spirit. I can think of no more manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit that's appropriate to celebrate the day of Jesus' resurrection, or at least celebrate the day we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, as far as the world at large does. Whatever, I know most people are more worried about bunnies and things like that, and eggs and bonnets and all that type of stuff. But to those that are believers, if you're going to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, there is no greater manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, in my own opinion, than faith. Amen. Faith. Because, you know, none of us were there for the resurrection, were we? And the Bible says that Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. Amen? And so it's the work of the Spirit that makes the resurrection real. It's just like it's the Spirit of God that shows us that heaven is real. So often we talk about heaven and we talk about what the Bible says. And we always quote, the scripture, you know, when it talks about heaven, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him, right? But we use that in terms of, well, we don't know what's going to be in heaven. But the very next verse says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. It is the indwelling Spirit of God that makes heaven a real place. And it is the indwelling Spirit of God that makes the resurrection real in our hearts. And I think it's going to bear out as we study this. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Now, our Father, we do thank you this day for your kindness and your love and your mercy and all that you've given us. We thank you this day for the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, from the dead. Lord, that he conquered sin and death and the grave and all the things that we fear, all the things that we're ashamed of, all the things that torment and haunt us. And Lord, he's conquered them all. There's no one else that could do it. And Lord, we just thank you for our Savior today. We thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to see how your Spirit and this fruit of faith that is there. I just pray, Lord, you'd help us to see how that is manifest by this fruit of that resurrection is made real by the fruit of faith. Lord, we just pray you'd help us to learn, to grow. And Lord, again, we pray for those that are not here. Pray for the folks that may be listening by. Pray if there's one that's lost, that today would be the day they realize how much you love them and that you, your goal and your only desire is to save them, to give them eternal life. I just pray you'd help us all to humble ourselves and hear the Word of God the way we should. And help me, Father, to please be a blessing. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Once again, when we look at these passages of Scripture here, let me grab my notes out of here. When we look at this passage of Scripture, Galatians 5:22-24, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts." You know, a lot of times we don't realize that faith is a gift. Faith is a gift of God. It is a manifestation of God's character. When you look at, if you go and you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about godly love, true God, love of God, which is called charity there, it talks about how charity suffereth long and is kind, and charity vaunteth not itself. But in another place it says there, it beareth all things and believeth all things. You look at our Savior Jesus Christ and you look at His life, and the Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, right? The Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Colossians chapter 2 that in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him which is the head of all principality and power. And the Bible tells us about Jesus Christ when He was on Calvary's cross, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. He sat down at the right hand of God. He endured the cross. Everything you see about Jesus Christ, and especially His life when He was here on earth. He said, "I came not to do mine own will, but the will of my Father." In some way that probably you and I can't understand, but all the way throughout the entire life, you see faith manifested in the life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. You see that manifested in Him. He made Himself, as it also says in Colossians chapter 2, He made Himself of no reputation. Philippians chapter 2, excuse me. He made Himself of no reputation and took upon the form of a servant. He took upon human flesh. And He emptied Himself. And He lived a life on this earth by faith. He had no home. Foxes have holes. The fowls of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He walked about. He didn't have a home. He didn't have a sure dwelling. He didn't have any of that. He gave all of that up. Any earthly inheritance he'd ever had, he gave it up to be about his Father's business. And he lived by faith in everything he did. And it's just an amazing thing if you look at the way he lived. And when we talk about faith in the Spirit, we look at faith is spoken of as something that we have to have in order to be saved, right? Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Repent and believe the gospel. But the book of Galatians tells us about faith. It tells us that even faith is a gift. Faith is a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is not just a gift of God, but faith is a gift of God. The Spirit of God convinces us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because Jesus said they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go unto my Father. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And the Bible says of the Word of God in the book of Romans that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God put His eternal Word and gave us His eternal Word because the Word of God imparts faith. Faith is a gift. And then again in Colossians we're told, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. How do you receive Him? You received Him by faith, right? And we're to walk in Him. Alright? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That so you believe on Him so you can be saved and know you have eternal life, and then to continue to believe. Yes. And so it's absolutely appropriately fitting that the fruit of the Spirit is not just love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and meekness and temperance. But the fruit of the Spirit is manifested as faith. A person that is Spirit-filled will walk and evidence faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have to be, it's the Spirit of God that helps us live the Christian life, become what we're supposed to do. And in order to do that, we have to live by faith. Now the just shall live by faith.
That's right.
Bible has a lot to say about that. Faith is even talked about as a gift of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. It's listed among the gifts of the Spirit. There is a faith that is God gives as a gift in that regard. But there's also faith manifests itself as the fruit of the Spirit. We're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. One of the things that we have in our soul winning and problems we have in soul winning and being witnesses for Christ is we look at ourselves and say, I can't do this thing. There's nothing worthy in me that makes it possible for me to accomplish this. I can't speak good. I can't do this. I can't do that or whatever. I'm shy. I'm this. I'm that. But nonetheless, there's that spirit of faith, right? Faith that's born of the Spirit of God. Alright. He says in Galatians chapter 3 verse 14 that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 5:5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. You see the Holy Spirit and faith being coupled there again and again. All right? Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. It's the Spirit of God that helps you believe the promises of God about salvation, the assurance of your salvation. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 6:11 says, likewise ye also, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8 says, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You see that manifestation of faith in being a witness for Christ, in the assurance of our salvation, in the testimony that we have, and the ability to walk with God and trust God all the way through. That is the work of the Spirit. You find me a person filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'll show you a person who lives by faith. I'll show you a person, and our problem is so often we're not filled with the Spirit, and that's one of the things that causes us to doubt so much. But I think one of the most amazing passages of Scripture about the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit being faith, I think it's found in Galatians chapter 2. If you'll turn over there real quick with me, Galatians chapter 2. And this verse to me, and this also speaks to the resurrection, by the way. In Galatians chapter 2, he says this. In verse 16, he says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners as Christ, therefore the minister of sin, God forbid. For if I build again the things that which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Notice what it says. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Not just faith in the Son of God, but the faith of the Son of God. You see what he's saying there? And he says, I'm crucified with Christ. He said, I live this life in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God. And the fruit of the Spirit is faith. And that is not just the ability to have faith, but the same faith that Jesus Christ walked with when He was on this earth. The same type of faith. The same spirit of faith, if you will. It's the manifestation of that. And Paul said, I live this life by the faith of the Son of God. The same faith that Jesus had. Because when Christ died, I died in Him. When He rose, I rose in Him. And now I live my life by the same faith, which, by the way, is born of the Spirit of God. It's a gift. to you, that gift. So many people, there's a lot of things that can help increase your faith, studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God, but just yielding yourself to the Spirit of God will increase your faith if you'll allow it to happen. And we live lives of doubt and indecision and everything else, and we're not sure, and a lot of times, if we just humble ourselves and submit ourselves to God and just yield ourselves to Him and do what the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit, that faith would manifest itself. We'd understand what we'd see more in the Bible. We'd understand more. Because it's a gift to every believer. It is a gift. It's a fruit. It's what happens when the Spirit has control. He's going to guide, just as He can guide you to love somebody that we might say is unlovable. You know, that's what the world never understands. The world never understands that there's a requirement to get up and preach against sin, and then they get all mad. Oh, you think you're better than we are? No, we don't think we're better than anybody. I don't care who you are. We're not better than anybody. But we know who is, and we know who can change your life, and we know what we can do. And we're to love even our enemies, right? And we're to love like God loves. And the simple fact is, we're to have joy like God has joy, right? We're to be all these things that it said in Galatians 5 about the fruit of the Spirit. We're to have peace like God has peace. We're to have long suffering like He does, gentleness like He does, goodness like He does, and faith. It's once again a manifestation of His character. And we look at this passage of Scripture about faith, and you say, man, I just don't have enough faith. But if we could get Spirit-filled, that faith would manifest itself. And as you study the Word of God would increase your faith. And prayer increases faith. Remember what Jesus said. Jesus said that when the disciples came to Him and said, Lord, increase our faith, right? And He goes into talking about prayer. So there's a lot of different things that God does and God has us doing that can actually increase our faith and help us. But yet, within you is the ability to believe God. If you're born again, if you know Christ is... Now, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, it's no wonder that there's no faith. I knew a lot of things about the Bible before I got saved. I just didn't believe them. We were studying about the Apostle Paul, right? And the things that happened to him after he met Jesus on the Damascus Road in Sunday school. And that man, I tell you what, that man knew the Bible. All the while where he was running around and putting people in prison and putting them to death and giving his voice to put them to death. And he was breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He was all that time. He was somebody who had sat at the feet of one of the foremost doctors of the Old Testament of his day, Gamaliel. He knew the Bible probably better than most of the Christians he was killing. He just didn't believe any of it. He didn't believe any of it. But when you and I, when we yield ourselves to the Spirit and we open the Word of God, there's a fundamental transformation that we approach the Word of God with faith. You know, when we talk about the Bible version controversy, and isn't it amazing we've got so many controversies in our day? But we talk about the Bible version controversy. One of the biggest problems that people don't comprehend about why there's even a controversy is because many of the people that are, quote, studying the Bible, they don't come at it from a perspective of faith. They're not believers. They may be fine scholars, but the Bible's not going to be open to you. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. So they can't come at it by faith. But when you're saved, the Bible begins to open up to you. If you'll take the time and you'll study it and you'll read it and you'll humble yourself before God and say, this is God's Word, I need this. You'd be surprised what God can do. You'd be surprised how God can change you. And notice he's talking here about he's crucified with Christ, nevertheless he lives. He's hearkening back to the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. Boy, I tell you what we need in our day. We need people who live and talk and walk like Jesus is truly risen from the dead. That would be a good celebration of the resurrection of Christ, wouldn't it? If we go back to the book of Philippians, I'm going the wrong direction. Let me go to the right way. If we go forward, I should say, to the book of Philippians. He mentions this again. He said this. He said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20, he said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Then he says this in Philippians chapter 3. He says in verse 7, he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, which is the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that, if I may follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, man, I don't want to just know about him. I want to know him, and I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to see the power of God in my life. I want to see the power of the Holy Spirit make a difference, make a change in me. I don't want to be the one that's sitting on the sideline. I want to know Jesus. I want to walk with him. I want to get there one day, and I want to see him as risen. And when we talk about seeing him as risen, a lot of times we get to the point to where we're just thinking in terms of I believe this body of knowledge, I believe this fact, but we don't see him and we don't have faith in him the way that we sing the songs. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I have a special relationship with my God. We sing about it, but do we know it? We can. It can be that real. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always there. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Boy, I'm going to tell you, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, it's going to be manifest in faith. And if we live faithless lives, we cannot say we're filled with the Spirit, can we? If we live a life that's faithless, how can we say that we're filled with the Spirit? And I'd be honest with you, I'm not saying anybody, we're all made out of the same chunk of dirt when it comes down to it, and we all have that capacity for unbelief. Matter of fact, that's our big problem, isn't it? Unbelief. You know, the disciples brought a man to Jesus to be healed, right? A little boy to be healed. He was possessed of a devil, and finally the man came to Jesus, and he said asked him to have mercy on his son. He said, "I brought him to thy disciples, and they couldn't cast him out." And Jesus said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And he said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." And Jesus cast that devil out. Then here come the disciples. He said, "Why could we not cast him out?" What was Jesus' answer to him? "Because of your unbelief." Because of your unbelief. And then later he said, "This kind cometh not up but by prayer and fasting." Now he wasn't saying that when you meet something like that, you ought to be... Isn't it amazing? Jesus lived by faith. And whenever he came up and he met a person that was possessed with devils, he didn't run around and say, "Oh, I got to have some prayer and fasting time and get over there." He just cast them out, didn't he? Yep. And the disciples, what was the disciples' problem? They had cast out devils already. They'd received that authority. But you know what they left off? They left off the prayer and fasting side of it, brother. They stopped believing God of the necessity of prayer. You find somebody's filled with the Spirit, they believe it when God says, "You need to be a praying person. You need to fellowship with God." You find somebody that's filled with the Spirit, they believe it, that there's a world that people are going to die and go to hell when the Bible says it if they don't trust Christ their Savior. They believe that God loves the world like He says He does. And they believe that God can give us the power to be witnesses. And they believe that God can lead us and guide us. And we go back to what we've been studying in the book of Acts of the evidence of people being filled with the Spirit. And you know what we see? We see faith. Spirit speaks to Philip, and Philip says, he says, Philip's in a good revival meeting, and he's down there, folks in Samaria are getting saved, and the Spirit and the angel shows up to Philip and says, "Go out here and go out to the desert out by Gaza." Go out to the desert. Why would I want to go out to the desert? Folks are getting saved here, Lord. Okay, Lord, I'll go. So faith. And then he sees the Ethiopian eunuch. The Spirit tells him, "Join yourself to this chariot." Well, wait a minute. That's a pretty powerful man. He's the treasurer of the Ethiopians and everything. That's an important looking fella. I don't know if I want to talk to him. But no, he said, okay. He believed God. He lived by faith. Peter, we read about Peter this morning. Faith. We read about Paul this morning. Doing what God told him to do. Faith. Faith manifests itself in the life as obedience. When we believe something, it makes a difference in our life. When we truly believe something. And it is the Spirit of God, that faith of the Son of God, the same faith that Jesus displayed when He was on this earth, the Spirit of God can help us to walk with God in the way that we should. Don't worry about the youngin. He's okay. All right? Every one of you had a hissy fit just like that when you were his age. Amen? So don't worry about it. All right. Some of us happen when we get older. Amen, brother. All right. Some of us never grow up, do we? All right. So, but I just want to say today that if you will yield yourself to the Spirit, if we're filled with the Spirit, one of the ways the fruit of the Spirit is going to manifest itself is by faith. And I want to tell you something. Like I said before, we were never at the resurrection, were we? But I know it's true, don't I? I know it. I'm fully persuaded of it. Now, I could go through all the things and they don't have a body. They don't have any evidence that Christ is not risen from the dead. But I don't know that, I don't have any way. I can't show you. I wasn't present there when he rose from the dead, and I wasn't present when he ascended up to heaven. I read it from God's word, don't I?
That's it. Believe.
Now think about this. Multiplied millions and billions throughout history have believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it's changed their lives completely. And you know what? None of them ever saw it. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. If you bow your heads, please. Let's just take a moment. I just want to ask you, if you're a Christian, do you live by faith? Or do you struggle to live by faith? Do you struggle to trust God? That's an evidence that you're not filled with the Spirit. Because being filled with the Spirit, the fruit of that is faith. It's that wonderful gift that helps us to simply believe God. God gives us the surety of our salvation, the surety of His resurrection, the surety of His return, the surety of heaven. All of those things are manifest by faith. It's the work of the Spirit of God that gives us that great understanding and that great conviction and understanding of these things, even though we've never seen them. We've never seen Jesus face to face, but we look forward to that day when we will. And we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And if you're here today and you're lost and you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you're listening in and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I've been quoting a lot of Bible today. And the reason I do it is because the Bible itself imparts faith. And if God's speaking to your heart right now and you say you know you need to be saved, I want you to believe you can be saved. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It doesn't say maybe. It says shall be. The Word of God doesn't make it ambiguous. No matter how many men may try to obfuscate it or change it or cloud it up or whatever, or try to come up with some doctrine that says it all depends on you. No, the only thing it depends on you is whether you're willing to humble yourself and realize that you're a sinner needing a Savior, and you put your faith and trust in Christ and believe that He paid the penalty for your sins, believe that He shed His blood as an atonement, believe that He rose from the dead. And the Bible says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." No maybes, no ifs, no buts. And God will give you the faith to believe if you just hear the Word of God. But I tell you what, as a believer, I need faith. And I just thank God that it's available. It's the fruit of the Spirit. The same Spirit that indwelt me the day I trusted Christ as my Savior provides me with the faith I need to live for God, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, and to be looking for my blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank You for each one. Lord, You know every heart here today. Lord, we're all here celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and yet the greatest way that we could truly celebrate it is day by day, just believe Your word. Lord, I pray that You would help each one to understand. If there's one that's lost, we pray for their salvation. Father, for those that are saved, help us to be filled with the Spirit that we might see the faith of the Son of God manifest into our lives. Lord, that's all possible because You not only died for our sins, and You not only bore our sins in Your body on the tree, but You rose from the dead incorruptible. We thank You in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen.